want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. I'll look at a verse over in Hebrews chapter 11 and one verse over in 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Everybody, I guess, is familiar with the story of Noah and the flood and how that Noah was obedient to what God had commanded him to do and to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. But over in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Tonight I want to look at this thought tonight, and I'll be brief tonight. I know it is school started and folks is tired and wanting to get home and get your kids ready for school tomorrow. So I'll be brief tonight in what I've got to say. But I want to look at Noah tonight, a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of readiness. He was a family man. And this chapter 11 in Hebrews is very important about the thoughts of faith and how important faith is in a person's life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that's not seen, the Bible tells us in verse number 1 right there. But, faith is mentioned about all these Bible characters right here. By faith or through faith or in faith is mentioned some 20 times or more in this one chapter right here. You ought to thank God that you had enough faith to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ one day to save you. Amen? God, the Bible tells us that the Lord has given every man a measure of faith. Every man. You can go out even as a lost person. You can look up into the skies at night and you can look at creation and it all declares the glory of God and shows us that there's a God that created all things. And to have faith and to build upon that faith. We can grow in our faith, and God expects us to grow in faith. We take that measure of faith, and we get into God's Word, and we go to the house of God. We hear the Word of God preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And again, I commend parents that'll get their children to the house of God under the preached Word of God, under teachers that'll teach them the Word of God, that'll pray with them and guide them in faith and see their faith as little ones grow in faith and grow into young children and young adults and to see what God will do in their lives. It's an amazing thing. Faith is a blessing. And Noah was a man of faith. By faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, as I said, faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things not seen. A substance is something that's real. It's something that's genuine. Now, if I examine the top of this right here, I can say this is a substance of wood right here. But now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is real. Faith is a genuine, a guarantee of something that's genuine and real. And this is our faith tonight. I've never seen the Lord Jesus, but I know He's real. I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him in my soul. And I see Him through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. And I know that I have faith in Him tonight. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is something that's real. It's something that's genuine, unmistakable, unquestionable, unshakable. And I'm glad I've got the evidence of faith in my life tonight. I'm not looking for something else to believe in tonight. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believed in Him one day through faith to the saving of my soul. And when I confessed my sins and called upon Him, He moved in. He cleansed me. Now I'm His and He's mine for all eternity. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Noah was warned of God by things that's not seen of yet. Noah's day, it had never even rained. And yet God said, I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth. And Noah was moved by faith through the fear of things that's not seen in his day. Oh, let me tell you something tonight. If we look into the Word of God and realize the day and hour in which we live today, we ought to be moved with fear of things that's not seen. But God says He's going to come back one of these days. And when He ushers His church out of this world and the tribulation moves in and wrath and judgment comes upon this world, it ought to move us with fear. Fear not for ourselves, we ought to fear for our lost loved ones. We ought to fear for lost mankind and the things that's coming to pass on this earth. We ought to fear for these little old children right here that's coming up in this old world right here. And we ought to be moved, just like Noah was, to make a difference. Amen. He was moved to the saving of his household. He wanted his household to be right when judgment came. Don't you want the same for your family? Amen. Are you doing anything for the cause of Christ and for the cause of God? And Noah had a calling in his life. Noah's faith, the basis of his faith, was the Word of God. The Word of God. Without the Word of God, where would we be tonight? Amen. As a child, I grew up, my mom and daddy would go to church. They'd take me to church. And I'd hear the Word of God preached. And I'd realize that and looking at saints of God around the house of God, how they worship God, how they got excited about the things of God and how they sang, how they prayed, how they testified about the things of God. It instilled some faith in me that I needed in my life as a child. It makes a difference how we act in church. Amen. We ought not to quench the Spirit of God. Amen. We ought to demonstrate the glory and power of God through the Spirit of God in our life. But the basis of Noah's faith was the Word of God. You see, Noah didn't just believe in God. Noah believed God. There's a big difference. The devils believe and tremble. But there's a big difference in believing in God and believing God. You see what I'm saying? Believe in God. God's Word, and taking God at His Word is what we need to be doing in the day and hour in which we live. The basis of Noah's faith was the same basis of our faith, the Word of God. The Word of God, how important that is in our life. But notice this, not only the basis of his faith, but the blessings of his faith. Look in Genesis chapter number 6 here, right quick for a minute. Genesis chapter number 6. The blessings of his faith. He had the Word of God. He had the warning of God. He had the way of God. He was interested in the Word of God. He was inspired by the Word of God. He was instructed by the Word of God. Notice this right here. In verse number, let's start with verse number 5 in Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Sounds kind of like the day in which we live today, don't it? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now in verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You remember the day that you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Hey, I didn't go looking for God. He come a-looking for me. And Noah got saved just like you and I get saved. He believed God, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God gave him a way of escaping judgment. And the judgment that he escaped is just like the judgment that we'll escape through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace. Grace and mercy is what I needed when I was lost. Grace and mercy is what Noah needed in his day. And God provided a way to give him that grace. Notice this right here. The bidding of Noah's faith. God called Noah to preach. As I read in 2 Peter, he was a preacher of righteousness. God used Noah in a mighty way in things that we don't even see out of God's Word. But for 120 years, Noah, I believe, he preached and he worked. He prepared and he tried to warn people about the judgment that was coming. Shouldn't we be the same type person? Amen. Judgment is coming to this world. And according to my Bible right here, we're in the last days that Jesus could come and call His church out of this world and usher in judgment upon the lost of this world. And so it ought to move us as our faith ought to move us the way it moved Noah in his day. He had a call to preach, to plead with people, to call people to prepare that the judgment was coming. And God gave him the instructions of how to do it all. God's good, ain't He? Amen. Noah's faith. Noah's family. Family's real important. It's extremely, extremely important. Noah was interested in his family. And we ought to be the same way. The Bible said that he was, the Bible says he'd been warned of God as things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah was not just, he was not just a person that was all about me, me, me. He was interested in others. For 120 years, preparing an ark for something that man had never witnessed, never seen on earth before, he was a man of great faith. He was a man of great focus and purpose in his life. And God would use Noah to condemn the world through his works. Now, notice this right here about Noah's family. I want you to notice the lineage back in Genesis of Noah's family. You'll find in Genesis chapter 4, after Cain slew Abel, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And he was a father of the ungodly race of people or lineage, ungodly line from his works of doing the things that were ungodly, going out from the presence of the Lord. And then a little later on in that chapter, the Bible says that Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son, called him Seth. And Seth bare a son and called his name Enos. And the Bible says that, and then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the godly line of Seth. And as you go through the different Bible characters in chapter number 5 right here, hundreds of years later, you'll come over to a place where it says that Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. Everybody's familiar with the man Enoch, aren't you? Amen. You'll find him mentioned over in the book of Jude, where he made a prophecy about the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. The Bible says, and Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So we find that the great-grandfather of Noah was a man that walked with God. Can I tell you that it makes a big difference how our walk is with God? Our walk with God can influence great-grandchildren on down the line that we'll never even see. Our influence can be carried on from generation to generation through people that we in our family that we come in contact with. People are watching you. Amen. If we say we love the Lord, if we say we've been born again, if we say we are Christian, then we ought to show it in our lives. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. Our family ought to see a difference in us. Amen. We ought not to just be different at church, but we ought to be different in our home life. Amen. And so we find that Noah, he was a family man. He was a faithful man. He was a man that was focused, and he was a friend to mankind. I believe that Noah, as he built that ark and judgment was coming, he was interested, no doubt, in the saving of his house, in which we all ought to be concerned about our own household, but we ought to be concerned about other lost people too. Amen. You know, God could have passed me by, and he'd have still been God, and he'd have still been just. But I'm glad there was an old man of God that stood up and preached out of a King James Bible, and he preached the truth to me and got me under Holy Ghost conviction where I'd call upon the Lord and he could save me. There was somebody that was concerned about me. A lost man. A lost church member. Amen. Nobody knew it but me. But God knew it. And God sent a man of God to preach the Word of God to me and come bring me to a place of repentance and salvation. God's amazing, ain't he? Amazing. But somebody cared for my soul. You hear me? Somebody cared for my soul besides God. God cared. Jesus cared. But there was a man of God that cared for my soul. And I'm ever indebted to God's preachers and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about family for a few minutes right here. Noah was a family man. But I want you to look back at something that God did back in Genesis chapter number 1. First of all, I want to say that God is the architect of the family. God's interested in families. Extremely interested in families. And family is under attack in the day in which we live. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the..." Notice he said them. "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. God wasn't confused at all. Amen. And you'll find right here, let's look over in Genesis chapter 2 just for a second. Genesis chapter 2, we'll read verses number 7. The Bible says, this gives a little more detail about the creation of man and creation of the family right here. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Verse 18. "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them in unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her to the man." You notice what God's doing here? He's creating the first family right here. He created man, and he created woman. He didn't create Adam a man and bring him to him. Amen. Man has got this thing all confused and mixed up today. The devil, let me tell you something. You give place to the devil, and he'll take it. You push God out and God's Word out, and the devil will come in and fill that void. That's why America's in such a dark place today. That's why kids don't even know if they're a boy or a girl today. Because of the darkness, of the spirit of darkness that's overtaken this world. Because of the, let me tell you, people have pushed God out of their homes, pushed God out of their country now, and the devil's taken over. I'm glad there's still a few places, though, that's faithful to God's Word, still preaching God's Word. Amen. And you better be sure to teach your children right from wrong, because this world is calling evil good and good evil in the day in which we live. Children have to be taught right from wrong. And the best place to find what's right and what's wrong is in the Word of God. God created a man, and He created a woman, and He brought them together. And that still stands true in God's eyes today. Anything else other than that is an abomination in the sight of God. Plain and simple. He said, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." What a blessing. God created a family. He's the architect of the family. But I want you to notice the applause now of the family. Back in Genesis chapter number 1, you'll find that six times when God created things throughout chapter number 1, He said it was good. It was good. Six times through the progress of creation right there. But in the latter part, when He created man and male and female, and when He saw all that He'd done there, He said that it was very good. Very good. God was well pleased with Adam and Eve and His creation. And God made a way for Adam and Eve to be to have fellowship with Him. Everything was perfect in the atmosphere, in the place that they lived. They had fellowship with God. And so God, He was the architect of the family. He applauded His first family right there when He created mankind and womankind. But notice I'm talking about the family now. I'm talking more on our level right now. We'll get back to Noah in just a little bit. But in Genesis chapter number 3, you'll find an attack on the family. An attack on the family. Just as God had created Adam and Eve and they were fellowshipping together and God loved them and had them a place of perfection now, here comes the devil on the scene. He comes in with his lies to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You better be aware of the devil, how he wants to devour your home. Amen? He's out to get you. Let me tell you, he's not pleased with you serving God. He's not pleased with you living the Christian life. He's not pleased with your family having a Christian home. And it's very important. So you better watch out for the devil because he's got his sights set on you. Amen. It's no wonder in the day in which we live that 50% of all marriages end in divorce. It's no wonder today that kids are growing up in broken homes of fussing and fighting and drinking and drugs and different things. And they grow up scared of getting married. They get isolated to themselves. They're afraid of going into an environment like they've been raised in. I ain't getting no amens there, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And home ought to be a refuge for a child. You hear me? There's enough junk out in the world. There's enough fussing and fighting and things going on out in the world that when they come home, they ought to come home to the love of a mama and a daddy that'll love them and that'll love each other. Amen. Truth hurts. And let me tell you something. There ain't no marriages that ain't got some problems at some time or another. Amen. You come home, mama's had a bad day. Or you come home and you had a bad day. And sometimes the things get a little heated, won't it? Truth, ain't it? But we can work it out. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, me and my wife, we ain't never had a fuss. We learned how to just talk things over a long time ago. But sometimes you can hear us talking things over about a mile down the road. But God wants to be in the center of your home. He must be in the center of your home if you're going to have a home that'll stand. Because the devil's out to destroy it. And he's going to do his best to do that. the devil come in and he attacked the very first family. And down through the ages, he's been attacking every family. And especially those that are wanting to live in a godly life, want to have a godly home, to raise godly children. He is out there to get you. Noah's faith, Noah's family. But I want you to notice this, the architect of the family, the applause of the family, the attack on the family, but the effects of family. Family, mamas and daddies have having a tremendous effect on their children, how they turn out. Amen. You do. Whether you realize it or not. Noah's grandfather, his great-grandfather, walked with God. What a statement to say about a man. Enoch. He got so close to God that God translated him. God called him out of this world without having to die. He's a type of the church, a type of the rapture of the church. And Noah, I believe with all my heart, Noah had a desire to walk with God. I believe that he could look back through his family lineage and he's seen people that love God. He's seen people that called upon God, that worshiped God, that leaned upon God. And I believe Noah had that desire within him because after he received grace, the Bible says that Noah walked with God. And that's a good place to be as we journey through life. Walking with God. Can I tell you something? You're going to stumble. You're going to stumble and fall sometimes. Because we're human. We're prone to turn and try to walk the wrong way, Brother Lee.
Yes, sir.
But I'm glad we got a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. God will draw you back in. He may have to whoop you to get you to turn back. But He will. He'll get you back to walking right. And I'm glad we got a God that loves us that much. If He didn't, we'd destroy ourselves. You hear me? We're self-destructive people. Amen. We're living in a body of flesh. This flesh loves sin. Amen. But we got a God that loves us. And our walk with God affects our family. So I challenge you. To be a Noah that wants to walk with God, do what's right. Be the right example to your family, because family is so important, and especially in the day in which we live, there's so much turmoil and confusion in this world today. When our government sanctions the things that they do of this same-sex marriage crap, it's a shame. It's a shame. And so somebody's got to take a stand for what's right. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I hope you'll say the same thing for you and your house. Noah's faith, Noah's family, Noah's fear. He feared the judgment that was coming. And he wanted to do something about it. And so walking with God, God provided him a warning. He provided a warning. He provided a way. And He provided a welcome to Noah. God's still providing that same mercy and grace today in which we live. He was moved by fear. Fear. Something that man doesn't have for God anymore. The fear of God. You know, I don't understand, folks. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen that somebody could grow to be 70, 75, 80, 90 years old and not know God. Not have no desire to know God at such an old age. But America's lost its fear of God. If America feared God, there'd be some things done today. You know, from the White House down to the church house. There'd be some things changed. Amen. And so, I close with this. Noah's faithfulness. You'll find in Genesis chapter number 6. And I believe this young man back here, in your message the other day, I think you quoted this verse right here. Noah's faithfulness. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Can I tell you something? This Bible right here is full of commands. It's full of commands. And we're instructed to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved, to know the commands of God, to know what God expects out of us, to have fellowship with Him through the Word of God. We ought to be found faithful at His appearing. I hope to. How about you? Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight. That's all I'm